Next presentation, another one from Auburn. Verticillium wilt on farm, cotton cultivar variety evaluation, Carolyn Land and authors.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to talk a little bit about what I saw this summer in my field trial. So to begin, Verticillium wilt was first observed on cotton in 1918 by Carpenter. And since that first observation, it's been noted in all major cotton growing regions in the United States and worldwide. It's present in China, some parts of Australia, and some parts of the former Soviet Union. It's economically important because infection causes yield loss, decrease in fiber quality, and seed quality. And just in Alabama alone, between the years of 1990 and 2011, there were almost 48,000 bales lost to Verticillium wilt alone. So a quick overview on sort of the disease cycle. The fungi will germinate. The hyphae will penetrate the root system, grow through the cortex and into the vascular system of the plant. From there, it will spoilate, producing conidia, which will move upward in the plant. And some symptoms of Verticillium wilt are the darkening vascular cylinder, intravenal chlorosis and some necrosis, and an overall wilting of the plant. And the way the fungi overwinters is as microsclerotia, and that can either be in plant debris or in soil. And this picture right here shows you a petiole that we took from the field and plated in water auger, and you can see Verticillium growing out of it, showing that it is present in higher parts of the plant. And this picture right here is of microsclerotia, which is formed in Verticillium specific media, which is the overwintering body. So some management options. So disease severity increases as irrigation and fertilization, with irrigation and fertilization, and these are two pretty expensive inputs. So the best way to combat yield loss is through cultivar selection. So picking a tolerant cultivar is the best way to go. You can also rotate to a non-crop host crop, such as a monocot, but sometimes that's not economically feasible in the situation you're in. And chemical and biological controls do help reduce disease severity, but also those are pretty expensive inputs. So my objectives. So for objective one, I am going to evaluate different cotton cultivars commonly grown in Alabama for resistance or susceptibility to Verticillium species. And my second objective is to survey different parts of the state for the presence of Verticillium. And some relating hypotheses to these. So my first hypothesis is that none of the cotton cultivars will perform better than our resistant check, and this is for our area, FiberMax 1944. And our second hypothesis is two species of Verticillium will be present throughout the state. So a little bit about methods for objective one. We planted 13 cotton varieties in a grower's field in Colbert County, which is northwest Alabama. Plots were organized into six rows, and they were approximately 500 feet long, which is about the width of the field. Disease severity ratings and incidence were taken four times for each variety. The field was irrigated with a center pivot irrigation system, and our statistics were analyzed using JUMP 10.0, and data was analyzed by means ANOVA, and means were compared using Tuke-Cramer's HSD at a 0.1 significance. So methods for disease severity, we took visual ratings of foliar symptoms. We rated them on a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 having basically no wilt whatsoever, 3 having intravenal chlorosis and necrosis, and 5 having a completely defoliated plant. From there, we took the petioles back to the lab, we plated them on water auger, and confirmed the presence of Verticillium, and each variety had the presence of Verticillium in it. Disease incidents were taken. We counted 10-foot sections of rows. We counted each plant, calculated the number of plants, and then cut each plant and observed which plants had darkened vascular cylinders. And from there, we were able to calculate a percentage disease incidence. Yields. Unfortunately, our yields were not able to be taken. So the graph below is of the temperatures of the month of October. And you can see here on the 26th, of the eve of the 26th, it dipped unusually low for that time of year, and it froze our field, so we weren't able to take any yields. So for objective two, we took five isolates, one from Mississippi and four from Alabama. We took two from the north and kind of two, one from the middle and kind of one from the south. So some results of our disease severity. On the y-axis here, we have our rating scale. And on our X, we have our cotton cultivars. Highlighted in the red, we have the cultivars that had the highest severity scores. And circled in the black here, we have our cultivars with the lowest severity scores, which would be Fibromax 1944, our resistant check for our area, and our Bayer Experimental 1347. So disease incidence, we have our percentages on the y-axis, and again, our cultivars on the x-axis. Highlighted in the red had the highest disease incidence, and highlighted in the black, we have the lowest disease incidence, which is, again, our Fibromax 1944, which is our resistant check. I tried to find some sort of correlation between severity and incidence. Percent vert is our incidence, and our severity is the ratings here. And we have an R value of 0.54, which shows that visual symptoms only account for approximately half the disease present in the field, meaning that a plant can have the fungus present in it with a darkened vascular cylinder. However, it may not show any foliar symptoms. So our results from our objective two, we found two species of Verticillium present in the state of Alabama, Verticillium albo atrium and Verticillium dahliae. In the northern half of the state, where Verticillium is an economical problem, we found both species, dahliae and albo atrium, present in the field. However, in the southern half of the state, where Verticillium is a really uncommon problem, it's kind of unheard of, we only found Verticillium albo atrium. So Verticillium albo atrium, just a little bit about the two. Morphologically, it has white fluffy mycelium that grows pretty densely in the plate. It's absent of the microsclerotia, but instead it has dark thickened rustin mycelium, which you can kind of see here. And it also produces abundantly the conidiophores, which for Verticillium, the world conidiophore is pretty characteristic of the species. Verticillium dahliae, on the other hand, has kind of a sparser amount of mycelial growth, but instead, almost immediately in the plate, it begins to form its overwintering body, the microsclerotia, and it does still have that characteristic world conidiophore. So in summary, our Bayer Experimental 1347 and Fibromax 1944 supported the lowest disease severity score. Fibromax 1944 had the lowest disease incidence for this trial, and Verticillium dahliae and albo atrium are present in the state but not uniformly. Albo atrium is throughout and dahliae is only in the north. So thank you. I'd like to thank the Tate and Isabel Farm and AgriAFC for their support, and also Alabama Cooperative and Extension Service.
Got plenty of time for questions, y'all.
So you've got a severity scale of 1 to 5. So with a systemic disease, how do you handle discrete numbers like that?
As in,
you don't have a continuous variable. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Right.
And based on symptom severity, just from a math standpoint, how do you deal with that?
We basically went through and ready to plant.
Right. So a one, okay, So a 2 has twice as much severity as a 1. A 3 has 3 times as much as a 1. A 4 is twice as much as a 2. You're nodding your head. Is that correct?
It's more of like in between. So a 1 will have a little to none of visual symptoms. A 3 would have the leaves will have fluorescence and necrosis. You can visually see the color changes on the leaves. And then 5 would be completely disbelieved. So 4 would be somewhere in between the color change on the leaves and necrosis of the leaves.
Right. I think the point, though, is you're not, 1 plus 2 does not equal 3. Your numbers aren't really representative of true numbers. It's not like you have 2 lesions on this leaf, and this one's a 3, so it has 3 lesions, and this one is a 4, so it has 4 lesions. And so, one of the problems with systemic diseases is just this, not just welts, viruses, things that move systemically are very hard from a number standpoint to really get a grip on that. Do you have any ideas elsewhere how you might be able to talk about severity without giving it a scale?
Without giving it a visual scale?
Without giving it a scale where 1 plus 2 doesn't equal 3.
You can have, I guess, a more uniform scale, is what you're saying?
If you're going to handle the numbers as if they're true numbers, then 1 plus 2 should equal 3, or 2 plus 2 should equal 4.
I got a question, too,
Larry. Oh, well, of course, Dr. Bob, please.
Well, now you don't have to worry about your defense. Not that I wanted to interrupt this question. I'm from Georgia, and I have never seen Versicilia in the world.
Okay.
And so, not that it's not there, but you say that you see difference in the northern half of the state versus southern half. What do you think the reasons for that are? Why are you finding more of it in the north than you're finding other species?
I think it's because the temperature
is more
able to get the cooler temperature
it needs
to become a bigger problem
on the north. It's not
salt
pretty much.
We haven't tested anything like that yet, but I'm offhand, I would say I think it's just the temperature.
Even in the northwest corner of Georgia, I haven't seen it. Okay, thank you.
Do you think there are any differences between the two species as far as symptom expression or severity?
Yes, I do. I think that Dahlia is more infectious, is more virulent, and that's another reason why it causes such a problem in the northern half of the state.
So the two species are identified together. What's the differences in isolation frequency? So you said that in some of your results you had both present. What was the frequency between the two?
Dahlia occurred more.
Degree?
I don't have those exact numbers, but I would say probably 60% more of the time.
Anybody else? Okay. Thank you.